This is KUNC. 6 years ago this month, floodwaters gushed across the Northern Front Range. Afterwards, the long process of rebuilding began. Yet for the people who had lived in mobile home parks, there was no rebuilding, no return home. That was the story in many places, like the town of Lyons, where the loss triggered an affordable housing crisis. As a part of our collaboration on mobile homes with the Colorado Sun and news organizations across the state, KUNC's Michael DeJuana has more.
You can still see the evidence of the 2013 floods in Lyons. It's just one block off Main Street. The foundations of houses have been raised as a defense against the next flood. And next to some houses are vacant lots. That's where homes used to be. Those owners took federal buyouts after the waters receded.
Oh my goodness.
Then there's Amanda Anderson's place.
So Otis is a puppy.
Boxes sit unopened on the floor, though a few paintings adorn the walls. They're by Anderson. She's an artist.
I've never lived anywhere brand new before. This is completely odd to me.
This cozy 1,200 square foot condo is one of six recently built by the local Habitat for Humanity.
I feel like I live in a mansion.
It's a small dent in a town where affordable housing has been hard to find since the day the flood hit.
Stranded and submerged. The Colorado landscape washing away as rescuers race to those trapped by rising waters. And look at those abandoned mobile homes, congested, toppled by the devastating waters.
In all, 1,882 structures along the Front Range were either damaged or destroyed, including Anderson's home at the Riverbend Mobile Home Park. She had spent her savings to buy it.
It was my gypsy wagon down by the river. I was going to stay there forever.
As a single mom studying art at the University of Colorado in Boulder, while working at a coffee shop, it allowed her to enjoy life, too.
I had a yard, I had an apple tree and raspberry bushes, and, you know, I had a huge garden.
Her lot fee was $430 a month, and after the flood, she hoped to return, but the park never reopened. Instead, the recovery funds she received went to pay rent in the community, and they were 3 to 4 times what she had been paying.
You see a historical pattern in Colorado and every other state where low-income housing is oftentimes located on low-value land, which tends to be flood-prone.
Andrew Rumbaugh is an associate professor of urban and regional planning at the University of Colorado, Denver. He studied mobile home parks across the country and, in a new paper, several of the ones hard hit by Colorado's floods.
In Lyons, you had a very low-income population, less than, I believe, almost a third of the town average overall. So very low-income, a lot of seniors, and they were highly vulnerable both in the flood itself but also in the long-term recovery.
For instance, some received salvage value for their destroyed mobile homes, whereas typical homeowners could receive the pre-flood market value of their losses. Those whose mobile homes were not damaged had to spend hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars to move their mobile homes or lose them altogether. They also struggled to participate in their community's recoveries.
Let's say they were displaced an hour away into a different community. Their ability to travel and advocate for themselves during the recovery was much lower because they have a much higher burden in terms of work and in terms of the cost of travel.
Moreover, mobile park property owners ultimately decided what they were going to do with their land.
By virtue of living in a mobile home park and not having claim to that land, your voice in the recovery in many ways was reduced.
Nearly 4 dozen mobile homes were lost in 2 flooded parks in Lyons. At Riverbend, where Anderson lived, the owner decided to convert it into a wedding site with overnight lodging. At a second park, Foothills, the owner explored keeping it open and raising the foundations for mobile homes. But ultimately, the town acquired the flood-prone land for a botanical garden.
And we found that communities were often able to treat mobile home park residents as something of an other, as existing outside of the community, even though our research showed that they've been there for a long time. They were highly valued their community they live within, and they were very much contributing to the communities they lived within.
Amanda Anderson said she sometimes felt like an outsider during the recovery. She recalled a hurtful moment at a town meeting.
Someone had made a comment, and she referred to us as trailer park people, and every mouth dropped, like, did you just say that?
Since the flood, the Board of Trustees has had as its goal, its number one goal, to replace affordable housing. And it has been very, very challenging.
Town Administrator Victoria Simonson has watched the years of back and forth over the recovery. Efforts to help the displaced mobile home park residents suffered a major setback in 2015.
It was the low point of the recovery for me.
In a narrow vote, town residents decided not to convert 5 acres of a 25-acre park into a neighborhood where 60 affordable homes would be built.
Our whole goal was to try to get everyone home, and it was our one long shot to do that.
Residents campaigning for the cause of open spaces and parks helped defeat the measure. And after the vote, many displaced mobile home park residents gave up on Lyons, Anderson says. That happened not just in that town, but elsewhere, like the city of Evans, south of Greeley, where more than 200 mobile homes were lost.
They were pushed out of their homes and therefore often scattered.
And in Lyons, that was a hit to the local economy.
Our community is really feeling the impacts of not having a working class. Our main street has more openings now than it did in the last recession.
6 years after the floods, baseball fields are being built in Lyons where that affordable housing neighborhood would have been. Simonson says Lyons is almost fully recovered. Almost. She has one more big goal. To show me, she takes me in the town truck along a curving road lined with pricey single-family homes. We stop at a small break and drive into a patch of gravel behind the houses. It's a field full of scrub brush.
So, this is it.
This land, high above the flood line, with a great view of the mountains that surround the town, was set aside for potential development long ago. Now the town has stepped in, Simonson says, with the goal of helping to create a neighborhood of affordable homes, much like the one that voters killed in 2015.
The multifamily, they'll take out just a little bit of this hill, so it'll be layered, and then all the single family will be out here. They come out on that road.
How many?
40.
40 of them. The plan involves grant money, housing tax credits, developers, and if Simonson has her way, the door on the first home will open sometime next year. And this project, she says, can't be derailed by a citizen vote. The idea is to give first dibs on the homes to the mobile home park residents displaced by the floods. That's if they still want to come back. Michael DeOanna, KUNC, Lyons.